You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 1st, 2020. Our current coronavirus worldwide update, 10.4 million. 510,000 infections reported. In the U.S., 2.7 million. 130,000 deaths. And that 510,000 reference to world was death count. And Dr. Fauci is predicting at the rate we're going, he believes that the U.S. might see up to 100,000 cases a day going forward. That does not necessarily mean it will lead to death. And, of course, some efforts have been not made underway by several states that started to open up some things, began to pull back, shut down. In Texas, they had ordered the bars, if you serve alcohol more than 50% of the time, then you're not going to be allowed to open. Yet shut down. Well, some of the bars are now suing back, saying discrimination. And we're looking to see what's going to happen with a lot of the activities on July 4th weekend. L.A. County is planning on shutting down the beaches. However, the sheriff of L.A. County said, I'm not going to enforce that. Then you got Orange County doing the same with the Laguna Beach. Florida is up and down on what's going to be closed, what's not. The other issue we have facing our nation right now, of course, is the police. Should we just abolish them and get rid of them? If we do, what happens then? Well, there's an interesting take on that I want to share with you from the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry. Of course, that's the city where the death of George Floyd took place. It sparked all of this latest outrage and reconsideration. He said, I'm on the side of massive structural change. I am. And he said, we can't just do half measures. We have to do something that's more than halfway. Can't be minor policy changes. He said, we need a full rethinking, reshaping of the way our police department does business when it comes to black and brown people. But then he made this very clear. We don't need to abolish police. He said, cities, including mine, need law enforcement. There is some common sense among some progressive, right? But if you recall, he was trying to address that point with a crowd in the streets the other day and got shouted down, told to go home. Former Vice President Joe Biden trying to see what he can pick up in the midst of all this chaos. And another thing he decided to go after on Trump, get this, he wants to take the Trump $2 trillion tax cut, and he said, I'm going to cut it. I'm going to reverse most of those tax cuts. I don't know how he thinks that's going to get him votes from anyone but socialists. We're trying to improve this country, and now we've been hit severely by the coronavirus, and he wants to hit business and capitalists even harder, the ones who create the jobs, pay for the jobs. The vast majority of Democrats, by the way, are telling Biden it's very important you have a woman of color as your running mate. That's based on a USA Today survey. 35% say it's very important to them that Biden's running mate be a woman of color. Another 37% saying it's somewhat important. So if you want to bet on it, it's going to be a woman of color on the ticket. Dateline Boston, that statue of President Abraham Lincoln, the Emancipation statue installed in 1879, showing Lincoln standing above a man, a black man in chains, basically to free him. A statue paid for by freed men at that time and others, and it was to honor the Emancipation Proclamation and Abraham Lincoln for doing it. It's been under attack by all these vandals and so forth. They want it torn down. They want it. They don't know the history, or they don't care. The reaction now from Boston, After two public hearings, the Boston Art Commission says we will remove it. We'll take it down. So once again, a piece of history going away. A piece of history I would have thought would be very important. It was. It's just my thought. It's everyone's thought. A piece of history very important to minorities, especially black Americans. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln under attack by the anarchists. I've told you previously, it's not just to take down things they don't like, reference slavery or anything of that nature. It's to tear down anything and everything that creates a fabric of this United States of America.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Before we wrap up this hour, we are going to deal a little bit with that Missouri couple, Mark McCloskey and his 61-year-old wife, Patricia, as they stood in the front yard of their home the other day as protesters broke through a gate getting into a private street. Now, I had said the other day, and I was mistaken, I said they never got on the McCloskeys' property. That is true, but that street itself was not a public street, nor were the sidewalks public. And I think I said that they were at the time. So I stand corrected on that. But we're going to get into that. And, of course, they're currently represented by Al Watkins, an attorney, and some of the cases that might be coming because folks were saying that they were out there with the guns. Well, the video shows they were out there with guns. And now the St. Louis City Circuit attorney, a Democrat, who's looking to make a bigger name for herself, considering charging the couple for standing out there with their guns. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later in this hour. I want to deal now with the question that, is Donald Trump good for minorities, or he's not any good for minorities? You know, obviously, depending on your personal situation, be you a minority or not, you have an answer. And I will never dispute anyone's answer to that based on their perception and what they're going through. If you say he's bad for minorities and I'm one of them and I'm suffering because of his economic policies or whatever, then that's your opinion. Even I don't care what the stats show, that's you and your family and your situation. I think you're entitled to that opinion. And if there are others saying, no, he's not, and they want to rely on stats, if they're using that for their basis, again, it's their opinion. I think we've reached a point in this nation where we don't want to let someone else have an opinion. And that's a shame. I have an opinion. Now, I know for years how it was to keep my opinion to myself when it came to some issues, because as a television news anchor for 40-plus years, I never expressed my political views on the air. That was not the job of a news anchor at that point. Nowadays, a line is so blurred, you can't tell if you're listening to a news report or a commentary. It's woven in so many ways. And you often have, quote, journalists appearing on some of the network programming and answering questions and putting themselves in a position to where they get away from facts and start interjecting their own opinion. And again, the problem is it's hard for the public to understand. Are you speaking as a journalist or yourself and your opinion? So we need to allow more sharing of that and not shouting each other down. But let's take a look at that question. Is Trump good or not good for minorities? And I'm going to begin with some clips that were put together that involve Zerlina Maxwell, an MSNBC policy analyst, followed by Sarah Longwell, a GOP strategist, and followed by New York Congressman Meeks. It's a short piece, but you'll get the gist of their view. Is Trump not good for minorities?
It's not just that Donald Trump is saying and doing racist things. He's also implementing policies that are hurting and impacting negatively communities of color.
I don't think Donald Trump is doing an awful lot to appeal to African-American voters.
All the policy that he's put forward has been anti-people of color.
You know, of course, they were not questioned on those particular programs. Well, what policy did he put forward that's anti-people of color? The last one being Congressman Meeks. What policy? Give me the policy. I'm waiting for the policy. Oh, you want to talk about just his statement? You say his statement's anti-color. Okay. Then riddle me this. Why are so many Black Americans saying, I stand with Trump now, and they are taking part in some of his White House conferences? They're asked, and they choose to do so. They could always say, hell no, I won't go. We got baseball, sports athletes, and whatever. They win a trophy. They don't want to go to the White House. I wouldn't go either, but they do. You got a coalition of Black pastors that are standing with Trump. He is not, and at the risk of putting myself in this box, Donald Trump is not the best Christian in the world. And I know I'm not. And he is probably far below some of those pastors that are endorsing him. But again, we did not elect a pastor. We elected a president, someone who would make things happen. Would I like to see him change some of the things he says or not say them at all? Yes. But at what point do you begin to say, is he doing things that are actually harming Black Americans and Black citizens? If it's your perception he is, I'm not even going to try to change you. That's yours. But I want you just to kind of keep an open mind and understand some things. Let me begin by a response that Dr. Cornel West, a Black academic professor who often appears on various network programs, he's liberal in many ways. But he also, I would always say, he often would present something based on fact. That's kind of the way he's geared to do. So he wants to do it in that fashion. He's not going to simply manufacture something. He is absolutely going to deal with things as he sees them at that time. Now, Dr. Cornel West, in talking about is Trump doing anything to help or hurt America, Dr. Cornel West is the first to acknowledge that if you're looking at stats, you see an answer that should be effective for you. If you're looking only at stats, for instance, here are the remarks of Dr. Cornel West.
Now, I think that the statistics certainly look good through a narrow lens, so I give him credit in that regard. But we have to keep in mind that on the one hand, you still have grotesque wealth inequality, you have job insecurity, so many people who are working more than one job. We know many people who have withdrawn from the labor force are not counted at all. But I think the problem is, though, my dear sister, is that the president has a language that creates an atmosphere that is so xenophobic against black folk, Mexicans, Muslims. He rarely wants to stay in contact with their humanity. So when you look at the statistics, that's one thing. But when you create an atmosphere and an ambience of xenophobia, it reinforces the polarization, and therefore many black folk wouldn't even be able to connect the statistics that look good with the language, the atmosphere that feels so bad.
Dr. West, African-American philosopher, political activist, social critic, author, grandson of a Baptist minister. He focuses most of his effort on race, gender, and class in American society. Now, he just acknowledged the statistics will show that Donald Trump has been very good for black Americans. But he also said he thinks some of the language and the actions of Trump overshadow any good he might accomplish. And it might leave the view in the minds of many black Americans that he's not good for us and minorities. Take note of what he said. Statistics show, yeah, he's been very good for them. They're earning more. They've got more jobs. Black unemployment, the lowest rate in history. That's all good. And what has he done actually against black Americans? What policies? Well, he didn't fully denounce the Klan at one point. Yes, he has. Well, he was also saying there are good people on both sides of that statue, and there are good people on both sides of a statue debate. That does not include the Klan members or the Nazi fascist type, nor does it include the activists like Antifa on the other side. So that's one viewpoint. That was expressed on the Laura Ingraham program. On the same program, she had Candace Owens. Candace Owens, of course, a black woman, American conservative, commentator, political activist. And she was initially critical of Trump and the Republican Party. I want to make that point very clear. She was highly initially critical of Trump and the Republican Party. But now she's gotten more in line, and she has increasingly turned her activism to supporting Donald Trump. So the question for her, is Trump good or bad for minorities?
I think the president is doing something different. Definitely his tone is different because he tells the truth and he doesn't pander to black America. He hasn't offered us hot sauce. He's offered us jobs. That makes many people uncomfortable because they're from an era where race hustling is a business. They're used to telling black Americans that they're victims, writing books about victimhood, and that is no longer selling in America. And I just wanted to comment back on saying that xenophobia is something that black Americans are afraid of. Xenophobia means that you have a fear, Mr. West, of foreigners. Black Americans are not foreigners in this country. We are a piece of the American dream. We've earned a piece of this American dream, and we're getting tired of people telling us that we are somehow separate of it. I mean, that's really what I have to say. We're doing tremendous under this presidency. There is no candidate that is offering anything on the left to counter what Trump has offered. They're just offering more rhetoric, more fear-mongering, and unfortunately, time is up on this narrative. We are ready to move on and embrace our futures.
Yeah, I like Candace Owens' remarks on that point. And her final point, there's no candidate that's doing anything different. You're going to see it from Biden. You're going to see Biden try to do something different if he puts, and I'm sure he will, a black woman on his ticket. Now, your first reaction could say, well, he's pandering for black votes. You could say that, but I mean, if he puts a woman of any color, but particularly a black woman on his ticket, he's trying to pull votes in from that community. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that is politics. That's why you have some of the candidates that go against each other in a primary suddenly are all together because they're trying together to stand against the opponent on the general ticket. I mean, President Trump and Mike Pence might not be the kind of match you'd ever come up with in your mind, but it's worked for them. We've had previous situations between, for instance, JFK and LBJ. I mean, he needed Johnson, even though he didn't like him. He had to have Johnson because he wanted to carry Texas and a lot of the South. He was pandering to Texas Democrats and votes across the South. Nothing wrong with it. That's the way it goes. But Candace, the other point she made was, I'd like to hear just part of that opening statement for a moment, Quentin. I want to hear again just part of the statement you made about how some are making money on this issue.
I think the president is doing something different. Definitely his tone is different because he tells the truth and he doesn't pander to Black America. He hasn't offered us hot sauce. He's offered us jobs. That makes many people uncomfortable because they're from an era where race hustling is a business.
There you go. Race hustling is a business. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and others like that, in my view. And her point, he's not offering us hot sauce. He's offering us jobs. Well, that's another way of pander. Yeah, but I mean, if you want to pander to me, write me a big check. I'll be your friend forever and ever until the check doesn't come through or something. But that point she made about race hustling, some of those that still continue that, they're making money on it. They've always made money on it, and they will continue as long as we have the division between the black and the white. As long as they have that division, they will prosper. Because the moment everything is together, it's like bringing a consultant into your business. The consultant comes in, they look at everything, and then they come up with a plan and say, here's what you need to do. Do you think you will ever get it right with that consultant? Do you think you will tick off everything they say and things are perfect and you no longer need them? Are you kidding me? You think the consultant's going to acknowledge, yeah, you've done everything right, you don't need me anymore, you don't need to write more? No, they're going to find something else you need to do. That's what a consultant will do. Nothing bad about it, it's just that it's job security. But what about this question of white people? I've got a piece I want to share with you, titled, Why White People Will Always Be Racist. It's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Denise C. McAllister is a writer based in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've had her on the air previously. She wrote a piece for The Federalist, and the title is Why White People Will Always Be Racist. Subtitle, Whites Are Continually Put in the Position of Forever Having to Prove the Negative that They're Not Racist. This is impossible. And that's the point. Her piece begins with South Carolina taking down its Confederate flag, and of course I've told you now the state of Mississippi, by the signature of the governor, a Republican, has removed the Confederate emblem from its flag, and that is the last state flag that had any kind of reference to Confederacy on its flag. But when she's talking about taking these flags down, as she did at that time with South Carolina, she adds these remarks. All of this action continues to prove liberals are never satisfied. We fought the Civil War. We ratified the 14th Amendment. We had the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The Civil Rights Movement was a success, but still not enough. And Hillary Clinton agrees. In a written statement, Hillary Clinton wrote, talking about when South Carolina took down its flag, removing the symbol of our nation's racist past is an important step towards equality and civil rights in America. Now, in saying a step toward equality and civil rights, McAllister says Clinton is acting as if the civil rights movement never happened. She's painting our nation with a brush of racism as if it were still 1950 or even 1860. Shelby Steele wrote a book titled White Guilt, and he calls it manipulating stigma. He said, as a nation, we have confessed our racist past. We righted that wrong. That should have been the end of it. But with the loss of that moral authority came an increase in the moral authority of minorities. Power they and the Democrat Party have now twisted, using to advance one social justice agenda after another. And this happens because of white guilt. The stigma of racism reinforcing white guilt. In the Federalist piece, she points out that Steele says, if an individual or an American in America is stigmatized as racist, then they are delegitimized. They lose all power and authority and influence. They are marginalized, ostracized. And when that happens, they can be easily defeated or manipulated. It's pulling the race card is what it amounts to. You understand that. Tom Nichols, writing at the Federalist about Clinton and others, said they're not really trying to capture something as equality, or nor are they going to be satisfied. Those are just merit badges to be collected along the way. What they really want, what they in fact demand, is that you agree with them. And that's back to Steele and his remarks about white guilt. He said that's a powerful, powerful force, not because people feel guilty, but because they get stigmatized and had to prove the negative all the time, living forever under the threat of being stigmatized. If you call someone a name, especially racist, they got to start backing up and say, no, 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 and then they got to take extra steps to prove they're not. Let's focus on that situation involving the Missouri couple standing at their doors with guns in hand as protesters move past their house. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you that it's a story that when you first see it at first blush, you might think, oh, that woman was wrong. She's a racist. But if you really look at the case where you can say, well, they might have had reason to raise a question. But again, once you take an action, you can be called a racist immediately. Sometimes not correctly, but the label is thrown on you. This involved a Hampton Inn employee at a Williamston, North Carolina location. The employee called police. The basic story, let me give it to you. The basic story headline is, she called police on a black family using the pool. She called the police. She apparently saw the kids in there, and she thought they shouldn't be there, so she called police. But there's a little bit more to that, but let's just stop it with that point for a moment. So police come to see what's the issue. And they go out and talk to the woman who's the mother of kids who's now in the pool with them. And she said, I have a key to get in. I can show you that it works. I have a room here. So was this a case where a white employee decided they were just going to hassle some black kids because they were in the pool? Well, when you look at it in a little bit more detail, she saw two kids in the pool by themselves. And she said, I asked them, where's your mother? And they said, she's out sitting in a nearby car. So that's kind of what made the employee think, well, they don't actually have a room here if she's in the car. But rather than talk to the woman at that point and try to resolve, see what's the fact, first response was call police. As an employee of the hotel, I don't care what color you are, if you are in the pool and you're not a guest, then you shouldn't be there. But, of course, a black person in the pool, to this woman that has two kids, that raised an immediate concern. But her first response was to call police. That's very much like the woman that was walking her dog in New York Central Park recently, remember? And the dog was off the leash, pardon me, and a black man was nearby and started talking to her, you need to put the dog on the leash, and she gets on her phone saying, there's a black man here threatening me. And she made a point to tell police it's a black man so they'd rush over there because he was black and dangerous to her. So with that in mind of those two stories, the situation that happened recently in St. Louis. One of the groups of protest of Black Lives Matter went into an area, a gated community, in a section of St. Louis. The original story that started breaking everywhere was showing the man who owned the house and his wife, Mark McCloskey, 63 years of age, and his 61-year-old wife, Patricia, out in front of their house. McCloskey has what looks to be an AR-15. She looks like she's got an automatic pistol in her hand, waving around telling people, don't step on my property, keep going. Well, no one stepped actually on their physical property of their house, but they were going down the sidewalk and the street, and that sidewalk and street are all part of a private property of that neighborhood. McCloskey, of course, once that video hit, he's an attorney, by the way, once that video went viral, you can imagine the reaction he got. He's been on numerous programs, interviewed, and I started to line him up. I thought, I'm going to wait and let the dust settle a little bit. And the family was originally hesitant to come out because they feared it would look like we're disparaging the importance of Black Lives Matter, was their wording. But they also began to realize if we don't say something, we're going to be labeled racist. So here's McCloskey, Mark McCloskey, explaining it last night on the Tucker Carlson program, his attorney, Al Watkins, sitting beside him. But this is just McCloskey talking.
You got to understand, my house sits right on the edge of a road called King's Highway, and our private place is Portland Place, where my wife and I were preparing to have dinner, maybe 70 feet from the gate. By the time we looked up, we saw the marchers coming down King's Highway and getting loud. We looked over at the gate, and there's no police there. Our private security wasn't there. Nobody's there. And I look over at my wife, and I see all these people outside the gate, and then the gate bursts open. People start coming in, and then a flood of people start coming in. They're angry. They're screaming. They've got spittle coming out of their mouth. They're coming towards the house. And, you know, on June the 2nd of this year, the protests in downtown St. Louis went violent instantly. People, the looting and violence and rioting. I watched on live TV the 7-Eleven in downtown St. Louis. From the moment the first window was broken, throughout the looting process, till the fire was started, and then till the fire fully engaged the building, and nobody came that entire time, I looked over at my wife and I said, oh my God, we're absolutely alone. There's nobody here to protect us but us. That was the same night retired police captain David Doran was murdered. When I saw that mob come through the gate with their rage and their anger, I thought that we would be overrun in a second. By the time I was out there with my rifle, the people were 20 or 30 feet from my front wall. I've got a low wall that separates the house from my front yard. And so I was literally afraid that within seconds they would surmount the wall, come into the house, kill us, burn the house down, and everything that I'd worked for and struggled for the last 32 years. Tucker, I lived out in West St. Louis County in a nice, secure neighborhood. 32 years ago, we moved into the city and took on a project to restore a house that nobody else wanted. And, you know, we were urban pioneers in those days, and we've been there ever since, working to build and maintain St. Louis in this very historic neighborhood. And I saw it all going up in flames and my life destroyed in an instant. and I did what I thought I had to do to protect my hearth, my home, and my family.
He was protecting his family and his home. Never a shot fired, just standing out front, telling everybody, stay off, and of course some of the people yelling back at them. Others in the crowd, by the way, the protesters, were trying to get, just keep moving, we don't need to get involved with this, keep moving. McCloskeys did call police at one point, but of course it took a while for police to get there, and when police did arrive, they started taking information. The police report does not identify McCloskeys as any victims in it, but the police did label it a case of trespassing, assault by intimidation, based on the couple's account. There is a iron gate that apparently had been forcefully broke open, clearly marked no trespassing, private street. Thank goodness there was no reason to open fire. But the incident itself created a firestorm, and in particular holding up the McCloskeys as racist. Now, the protest group going by, some of the video I've seen, I can't tell if it's mostly white, black, one way or the other. But again, it's if you can use a race card against somebody, you want to do it, because you put them on the defensive right away. And even McCloskey had to admit that this is put him on the defensive. And yet here's the irony of this story involving Mark McCloskey.
Here's the interesting thing. I've spent my career defending people that are defenseless, for people that are having a hard time making their miracle happen, for people that don't have a voice. My black clients love us. The night that this happened, I had some of our black clients calling us up till 2:30 in the morning, telling us how wrong it was the way the press was writing us up, telling how wrong it was that we should be portrayed as racist. This is what I do for a living. I help people that are down and that need a hand and the people that need a voice. To call us racist is ridiculous, and it had nothing to do with race. I wasn't worried what the race was the mob that came through my gate. I was worried that I was going to be killed. I didn't care what race they were.
And I think that probably echoes exactly what we were saying earlier in the preceding piece with the comments from Steele and his book, Shelby Steele, author of White Guilt. He said white guilt's a powerful, powerful force, not because people feel guilty, but because people stigmatize, again, have to prove the negative all the time. Here's McCloskey, who says most of my clients, I handle many minority clients. He said, I've always fought for them, and now I've been hit with this stigma of being racist. And he said, I wasn't concerned about their color. I was looking at the mob itself. You got to consider that. I want you to consider that possibility for police officers in the field. When they encounter someone, they're not dealing with the color of the person. They're dealing with what's going on here. And if you're not following rules and orders, legitimate law and order and rules, and if you have any contest or issue, don't get involved in the street, my friend. And let them go ahead and take you and deal with it at the courthouse in a legal suit if you need to later. Cops don't go out just hunting for black people to run down. And their attorney in this case, McCloskey's, as I said, another St. Louis attorney, Al Watkins, he said the McCloskeys have practiced law for more than 30 years. Their practices have included, on an ongoing basis, representing individuals in pursuit of protection of their civil rights, saying 100% of my clients' cases in those cases have been people of color. But now, this video out there, that they're labeled as racist, aren't they? We'll take a break when we come back. The dangers of our police in the streets. And I raise the question again. Who's willing to be a police officer nowadays? It's becoming much more dangerous.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman. Bury me till I confess.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have situations in this nation all the time that police officers end up having to encounter. Oh, before I get to that, I need to share this with you. We have an Air Force F-16 crashing during a routine training mission in South Carolina. They say it was a routine mission, but something went wrong. The plane went down, and the pilot did not get out. His identity, of course, being withheld at this time, pending notification of his family. That is, by the way, at Shaw Air Force Base, is a fourth involving a U.S. fighter jet since May. I don't know if we don't have the proper maintenance and people available now, budgets, I don't know, but that's another loss. And then we get the situations of police officers in the street and what they're trying to do. They never know what they're going to encounter. There was a story I had originally been in the process of pulling up that involved a female officer who was fairly new, 25 years of age, and she went to the scene of a car accident. She's going to help those caught in the situation. But the person in the car decides, for some reason, to come out shooting. That was one case, and the officer completely caught off guard, there to help someone in an accident, and they come out shooting. We had a similar case out of Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. An officer dead, another in critical condition. This involved a traffic stop. They simply pulled a car over, routine traffic stop. And when I say routine, that's a phrase they will hear and use, but any officer in the street would tell you there's never a routine traffic stop because every one of them could go south in a hurry. So they stopped this car about 3:30 in the morning, and they're trying to get the guy to get out of the car. He won't get out of the car, so now they're in the process of trying to get him out of the car. It becomes a scuffle. And then apparently he reaches under the seat and grabs a pistol and opens fire multiple times, killing one of the officers. One shot to the head included. The other officer also shot in the head, still in critical condition at last report. Routine traffic stop. The suspect has been arrested. And here's another case. Sacramento, Dateline. This is a 26-year-old female officer, a rookie. She's partnered with a training officer, and they're responding to a domestic dispute. Now, this is the kind of thing, I guess, that some of those who want to cut our police funding and cut police entirely, especially in California, they might not send police officers to a domestic dispute. They would send some of their unarmed social workers since they don't want to involve police in something like that. At least the leftists don't want to. Well, those who are social workers, do they want to walk into this situation? Because when police arrived about just before 6 p.m., they are standing by at the home while the woman goes in and gets some of her belongings. They're just standing outside, just watching over the scene. The woman goes in to get some of her belongings, and all of a sudden, gunfire starts coming out of the house. One officer cut down immediately. Suspect continuing to fire. About an hour later, after that shooting, police got an armored car vehicle up close enough where they could pull her body to safety, and of course, verify that she was dead at that time, take her to the hospital. They could get to her because of the gunfire until they brought that armored vehicle to the scene. The chief says she was an absolute star in the department. someone that pretty much every department member looked to as a close friend, a sister. She was there again with her training officer to watch and observe a domestic issue. Domestic issues are another problem for police officers. They go in and they have a husband and wife at each other, and before they know it, the husband and wife are both going after the officer. Do you really think those who want to defund and get rid of police and send in social workers to a situation like that, you really think that's going to make things safer for anyone? I'll tell you this, if I had a son or daughter as a social worker that would be assigned to that, I'd say give up that job. Don't go in there. If it's not safe enough to go when you've got a gun, it's not going to be safe to go without one. It is more dangerous every day for our police officers because of the hate that's been generated. No respect for law and order. That's not a color issue. It's a moral issue. Put it on your calendar. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.